Is there a children's church today? Yes, the children can be dismissed for children's church. If you're visiting today, welcome. God bless you. Now we have a few visitors here this morning. Hope that you receive a blessing from the Lord. We're going to look at a few snapshots of mothers in Scripture to see the example that God has left for us by these women and mothers in the Bible. Our snapshots of mothers will be viewed from a special lens. It's a template that the Bible gives us of a godly woman. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs and chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And this is so important. Before we read this morning, I need all of the men especially to focus on me for just a couple of seconds here, would you? As I read Proverbs 31, men, no elbowing the wife, no underlining the verses in the Bible, none of the looks, because I tell you, it won't do you a bit of good. In fact, it'll hurt your cause more than help it, all right? And actually, the message this morning, although we're using mothers as examples, these are principles for all of us, not just for moms, but all of us. And so I'd like all of you to pay attention this morning. You ready? Proverbs chapter 31, beginning with verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, even if it lasts 7 months out of the year. That's added, of course. Where are we at now? Pray for me. I got trifocals this week, and I'm still trying to get used to them. Yeah, thank you. Sometimes I think I should just take my glasses off. It would work better. What verse was it? 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh the fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also when he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Does this seem like a tall order, ladies? Does it almost seem impossible? Who is this woman? Well, this woman here that's being talked about is really the personification of wisdom itself. And we know that God is wisdom himself. He is wisdom personified. So this is a tall order, and it's not talking about June Cleaver. It's talking about, you know who that is? Okay. Just checking. Some of the younger generation are going, who is June Cleaver? But this is wisdom in an epilogue of sorts. And it praises a woman of wise character. You also know that this passage in the original language was written as an acrostic. You know what an acrostic is? Each of the 22 verses here begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet and works its way down. Like, if we were to do this, we would start with the letter A, and then next verse B, and the next verse C. And that way it helped for memorization. It also helped to let you know that special attention could be given and things could be remembered a little bit easier. I noticed a few key principles about a wise mother, and actually any woman or any of us for that matter. And we're just going to talk about four things this morning, three of them having to do with snapshots of mothers in the Bible. And the first one is this: a wise mother or a wise woman is diligent. Diligent. That's the first principle. She is diligent. She is a hard worker. Here's a list of some of what she does. She spins thread, makes clothing for her family, provides linens for her bed and for the marketplace. She's an enterprising person. She gets up early. In fact, one of the definitions of the word diligent is really simply this: it means to be up early at a task. And so this is the woman. She's diligent. She provides food for her family, buys a field, plants a vineyard, sells in the marketplace. And the person that I chose to point out in the Bible who had this particular quality of diligence is Ruth. When I think of the diligent characters in the Bible, Ruth is always near the top of my list. And so she's our first snapshot this morning. She is diligent. She was a Moabitess woman. She married into an Israelite family that migrated into the land of Moab. Her and her sister married brothers. Fortunately, both of their husbands died. Their father-in-law also died. So that left three widows: Ruth, her sister Orpah, and her mother-in-law Naomi. They were in a difficult position. There was nobody to provide for them. Naomi, the mother-in-law, said, "I'm going to go back to my people. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem, Judea, the house of bread and praise. There's a famine here. We left because of a famine. I'm going to go back there. And it's too late for me to find another husband." But she said, "Ruth and Orpah, you know, you stand a chance at remarriage. You're young enough. You can find husbands here." And Orpah stayed, but Ruth clung to Naomi and said, "No, I will not stay here. I will go with you." You know the famous saying, "Your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people." And she demonstrated loyalty, and she demonstrated it quite firmly. In Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, "And Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee.'" And then that verse I just mentioned, "For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And so she clung to her mother-in-law. She clung to Naomi. And they traveled back to Israel in poverty and shame. But Ruth was not content to stick with Naomi. She insisted on providing for her. And so she would go out in the fields and she would glean. After the time of harvest, there were sometimes patches of grain, sometimes narrow strips of grain that were left behind, and the poor and the widows were free to go in the fields and they were to glean the portion that was not already gathered up. And guys, teenagers, do you mow your parents' lawn? If you do, I don't suggest leaving a strip for them to glean. That might not work so well. But that's what they did in those days. And so she was in the fields of a man by the name of Boaz. And Boaz said to his men, "You know, this woman, Ruth, she is a woman of outstanding character and virtue. So I want you to leave a few handfuls of grain on purpose for her and let her gather that way." And that's what She did. And so Ruth is gathering the leftover barley during the harvest time. And this is where her diligence really shines. She went into the field and worked steadily from morning till evening, except for a short rest in the shelter. Finally, she came home with 3/5 of a bushel, which would make for about 2 liter bottles filled with barley, 11 2-liter bottles filled with barley. And that was diligent work. And both the barley and wheat harvest, she did this. And those harvests, or these gleaning times, lasted about 9 weeks. Now, you might notice that at this point in time, Ruth was not even a mother. And those young ladies that are not married or married but don't have children yet, I would encourage you to work at this particular quality and work at diligence, because I don't believe that character happens overnight for anyone. I believe that character is developed. And so you can begin to develop and work on this skill on a daily basis. You know, diligence isn't something that's really glamorous, but it's a result of making progress over time. And we see in Ruth's life that God blessed her for her diligence by giving her both a husband and a child, and through her offspring, we find comes King David, and ultimately Jesus Christ himself. And so we don't know how well our diligence will pay off, but it does get noticed by God and others, and God will bless that quality. So a wise mother or woman is diligent. Number two, a wise mother is discerning. Discerning. Another thing there showing that a mother is discerning, several examples in this passage. She brings her husband good and not harm. According to verse 12 and verse 16, she makes a wise purchase of a field in which she can plant a vineyard. She has the foresight to plan ahead and not worry about the future. And that idea comes from verses 21 and 25. In verse 25, it says, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." Now, we find a snapshot of this type of discernment in the life of a woman named Abigail. Her story is set for us in 1 Samuel chapter 25. This is a time when David is running from King Saul. David is not yet king, but he's running for his own life. Abigail was married to a rich but cruel man by the name of Nabal. And actually, his name literally means fool. And he was a foolish man. David and his men had been protecting Nabal's shepherds and sheep for a while. Now it's shearing time. And when shearing time came, they would throw a great big party. They would have a celebration, a feast. And David thought that, you know, it'd only be right for us to be invited to this feast. We've been watching over this man's flock. And we've been making sure that no harm would come to any of his sheep or any of his men. But Nabal, he was harsh and insulting to David. David's first reaction was, I'm not going to put up with this. In fact, David went so far, his anger got so hot that he was considering even killing Nabal. Fortunately, Abigail, who is described as an intelligent and beautiful wife, heard about the insult, and she stepped in to intervene. And she talked some sense into David. She said, "David, I know you're going to be king someday, but if you harm Nabal here, that's going to be a blot on your record. It's going to hinder your future. And so don't have ill feelings for him." And she formed a catering service, and she got food and put him on donkeys and met David and his men while they were coming toward her. And partly because of the food and mostly because of her humble response, David relented and did not attack. And he says in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 32 and 33, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. God needs Abigails. God needs women and mothers and even men who are able to avoid trouble and to promote good. I know I could give you examples of my life and how my wife has stopped me from doing something foolish simply because she was discerning and was able to talk some sense into me. Praise God for mothers. Praise God for women like that who are discerning and can able to see the results of certain actions if we take them. And then the third snapshot here is that a wise mother is developing. Her skills, her character, they're growing, they're constantly improving. That's crucial because when we read Proverbs chapter 31, we could easily see that this is such an impossibility. What's the sense of even trying to live up to it? The thing is, this is wisdom to the fullest. And instead of feeling that you don't measure up, realize that this is just a path that you are on to grow in wisdom and virtue. It is easy to wonder why that woman can be so successful and find the time to do it. That's the thing that stuck out to me, is where does she find the time to get all this done? You know, some of you ladies think laundry is an unending chore that's unresolved. But let me remind you that, again, that this woman in this passage is the embodiment of wisdom. And God never makes mistakes. And where you are in your life, whatever position you are in, God has you there for a purpose. And God isn't finished with you, and God's still working on your character, and you are still growing. There's a saying that God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. And that's true. And we never get to the point in life where we arrive. I don't believe that we do. We need to be ready for whatever God wants to teach us. And the fact is, we're still learning. We're still developing. God is still teaching and training us. And I came across an example of this in a book called Extreme Devotion, which tells the stories of various Christian martyrs. The account is of a mother and daughter in Romania, and it's worth reading verbatim, so let me read it to you. It says, "All the prisoners were upset to see the little girl in prison with her mother. Even the prison director said, 'Why don't you take pity on your daughter? If you will give up being a Christian, you can both go home.' The woman was understandably torn inside. She had been imprisoned with her child after protesting the arrest of her pastor, but she agreed to deny her faith to keep her daughter from suffering. 2 weeks later, the communists forced her to shout from a stage in front of 10,000 people, 'I am no longer a Christian.' On their return home, the little girl turned to her mother and said, 'Mommy, today, Jesus is not satisfied with you.' The mother tried to explain that she did this out of love for her daughter. The little girl looked at her mother with conviction beyond her years and said, 'I promise if we go to prison again for Jesus, I will not cry.' Her mother wept, overcome with pride and love for her daughter and conviction for her own weakness. As she cried out for God's strength in a difficult decision, she went back to the prison. She went back to the director and said, 'You convinced me to deny my faith for my daughter's sake, but she has more courage than me.' They both returned to the prison, and the little girl kept her promise. She never cried again." Friends, we need the humility to learn and grow, even from our own children. Sometimes they teach us some valuable lessons. And just to remind ourselves that we are developing and we will fail and we will make mistakes. But as that saying goes, please be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. We're still being molded into the image of Christ. still taking on Christ-like character. And then as I thought of a mother who could possibly fit this snapshot, I think of Moses' mother, Jochebed. Oh, the skills that she needed to develop, the trust that she needed to have in God after she gave birth to Moses. He was a healthy baby. Healthy babies have healthy lungs. She tried to keep him hidden. She hid him for the first 3 months of his life. You know, the Israelites, they were slaves to the Egyptians. They were beginning to outnumber the Egyptians. This worried Pharaoh. And so his latest form of oppression was particularly gruesome. Every male child, every boy child that was born was to be put to death. That had to be incredibly frightening. For a family to live in a time when there were no rights, you could not appeal this right to anyone. Here's a family living in a building without insulated windows or doors. Moms, can you imagine every time that baby cried, the feelings that you would have had, the feelings that Jochebed would have had, the fear, the terror that the cries of that child would be heard by the authorities? After 3 months, she knew she couldn't hide him any longer. She placed him in a tar-coated basket to float in the Nile River. Now, the Bible doesn't mention that she prayed, but I can't imagine her not praying. I don't see how she could not have not been praying all the time. She was aware of her inability in the situation, but for perhaps, you know, counting back before even her pregnancy, she had been contemplating the predicament. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with this? What if it's a boy child? What if it's a man? What am I going to do with this child? How am I going to hide this child? How am I going to keep the authorities from finding out? When we are honest about our inabilities, we can then ask God for his ability. And that's what James says in James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In Colossians, Paul writes, whereunto I also labor, striving according to this working which worketh in me mightily. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, a special promise from God, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We all need to be developing. We all need to be conformed into the image of Christ, to be more like Jesus. This is less about skill and more about identity. It's more about being than it is doing. Our world needs capable moms, competent moms. But hear me, mostly our world needs Christian moms. Our world needs Christ-like moms. Moms who are being developed into the image of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what this world needs. We hear so many things today about even moms abusing their children and killing their children, and it's just beyond me. So we need moms who are not only going to do the right thing, but they're going to be the right thing. When Moses' mother acknowledged her inability and she placed Moses in that basket, what she was doing essentially was giving her baby over to God. She was trusting God with this little child, and God intervened. Moms, there's nothing greater that you can do than to trust your children into God's care. Realize that you are inadequate. You're going to develop the best that you can into the mother that God wants you to be. But even so, you are inadequate. But God can do all things. Well, here's Moses' sister Miriam watching in the distance. The boy in the basket is picked up by the daughter of Pharaoh, and she decides to rescue him. And at Miriam's suggestion, Moses' mother was able to wean Moses until he was old enough to live with Pharaoh's daughter. What Jochebed gave up, she gave her child over to God. God gave him back for her to raise, to take care of. Can you imagine the joy in her heart as she saw God do the impossible? It's a reminder to me that God is always in control. Even when things don't look like it, even though the situation might be impossible, and there's no human way of understanding how this thing could possibly work out, God is still in control. He's got the whole thing in his hands. And then the fourth thing that I want to talk to you about this morning is that a wise mother is deserving. She deserves our love, our gratitude, our encouragement, and our praise. Proverbs 31:28 says that her children arise, call her blessed. Now I know, moms, you don't get the praise that you deserve. Chances are your children aren't bounding out of bed every morning, running up to you, can't wait to praise you and tell you how great you are. A lot of what you do goes unnoticed. The verse continues, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women are virtuous. Many women do noble things. But you exceed or surpass them all. I hope that we can express, if your mom is still alive, I hope that you can express the praise that you feel for her this morning. Some moms don't always do the right thing. And it's often not because they don't want to. Sometimes they don't know what to do. They don't know what the right thing is to do. But if they love you and they set a Christian example for you, they are worthy of your praise. Amy Chua wrote a book called Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother. And in that book, she listed all the reasons why Chinese mothers are superior to Western moms. I disagree, and you'll understand why. But here's an excerpt from that book. Chinese parents can order their kids to get straight A's. Western parents can only ask their kids to try their best. Chinese parents can say you're lazy. All your classmates are getting ahead of you. By contrast, Western parents have to struggle with their own conflicted feelings about achievement and try to persuade themselves that they're not disappointed about how their kids turned out. Now, Chua's approach is extreme. She insults her daughter's regularity. She also once threw a handmade birthday card back to a daughter because it wasn't good enough. But her extremism makes a point. Some think that loving their children means letting them dictate everything they want to do. Constantly, some children never get disciplined and are unmotivated to succeed in life. The primary motivation in raising children, in my opinion, so you take it for what it's worth, is not that we make the children happy. You don't really find that in the Bible. Happiness is the result of an individual who has learned to follow the biblical principles of hard work, integrity, honoring God, honoring and obeying parents, loving others, and being content. Those are the kinds of things that we learn that make us happy. It's not really a goal to be happy, to seek happiness, but it is the byproduct of living a dedicated life. That's why we must celebrate our mothers who do such a good job. The concluding verse, verse 31, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Again, moms, you deserve our praise. But even if you're not getting it, can I tell you that you can get the praise and the approval of the one you really want to get it from? And that's God. Because There isn't anything that you do that God does not notice. I mean, think about it. If you give a child a cup of cold water in Christ's name and there's going to be a reward for that, I think mothers are going to be the most rewarded people in heaven. But Psalm 33 verse 18 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, it's about God's eyes, 2 Chronicles 16:9. "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are turned toward him." Moms, God notices. If your heart is turned toward God, as his eyes are roaming throughout the whole earth, his eyes stop and gaze at you. And he sees you. And he knows everything there is to know about you. Motherhood is a gift from God. And ultimately, God is the one to glorify through it. As we move to the conclusion of the service this morning, I just want to encourage you moms to exhibit the diligence, the discernment, and the continual development found in Proverbs 31. And to let you know that we appreciate you. These three D's, though, they're not just for the moms, as I said. They're for everyone that's here today. So you can insert your picture in that photo frame, and you can also be diligent, discerning, and developing. Since the price of mothers is far above rubies, I thought, what could we give mothers today that would be equal to a ruby? And I thought, I can't afford rubies for all the moms. So I thought, you know what we'll do? We'll give each mom that comes today $100,000. $100,000, does that sound like you might deserve, like you might want that? We'd like to honor all you moms. If you'd come here, come up front this morning, we'll give you $100,000. If you're not able to make it up here, we'll have somebody bring it back to you. But if you can come forward. We just want to recognize and honor you this morning. If we could have a couple guys come and hand out the $100,000 to each mom. $100,000.
Oh, I wanted to buy a place in the UP.
You can take some of those. And here, I got a bag, too. I got a bag, too. There you go. You can start on one end. Whitney, you're married. Come on up here. You can come on up. Any other moms that we have, or married wives we have, you're not yet a mom, but you're married, you can come. You got to stay up here. We want to pray for you. Just like, take your $100,000 and leave. Yep. Hopefully you had enough. I think we have just enough. If we run out, Tom will give you the real $100,000. Are we out? Did we get everybody? Good. So do I. One of my favorite candy bars. I was hoping I'd have some left over, but no, I'm just... All right, can we just stand in reverence to the mothers today? And let's just pray over them. If you would, stretch out your hand toward them. Well, let's just pray. Father, I thank you for each of these ladies that are here today, standing in front of this congregation. Lord, we arise up and call them blessed today. Lord, we thank you for them. We praise you for them. Lord, I know that each one has their own struggles. Lord, I pray that you would be with them and they would feel your presence. Lord, as they pour out their hearts to you from time to time, Lord, that you would comfort them. You would encourage them. I pray, Lord, for each mom that you would continue to work in their heart and in their life. Lord, your character, your godliness, your virtue. Lord, we pray that you would meet every need that they have. And I ask, Lord, for the coming year that it would be a blessed year for each and every one of them. That this year, that there would be those that take notice of their hard work and rise up and call them blessed. I pray, Lord, that it would be a prosperous and a successful year for each one. And Lord, for those of us who have wives and mothers here today, Lord, help us, give us the grace to honor them the way that we should. Lord, you in your word, you tell us that we are to honor those who deserve to be honored. And we do that joyfully and gladly today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give them a hand? Express our appreciation. And thank you. And you are dismissed. The guys that are going to be singing, the guys in the Living Last Supper, don't forget you're supposed to meet up front here. Otherwise, you're free to go home.